Thank you for subscribing and listening to the UNF CERT News Podcast. This episode of the podcast accompanies the January 2016 issue, which can be located on our website at www.unf.edu/CIRT/newsletters.
This is Deb Miller, Director of CERT, and in this edition of CERT News, I want to talk to you about resources for personal and professional development. With the new year comes the urge to make changes and improve habits. If one of your resolutions is to spend more time learning in the coming year, the professional development resources highlighted in the online version of my article from institutional memberships and MOOC providers may come in handy. While I must confess that I've started several MOOCs and finished none, I have nonetheless learned from my participation in them. I've also taken advantage of the membership resources for my own development and for the research and reports that they provide. There are an increasing number of resources available related to learning design, brain science, and teaching in online platforms, which motivated me to put this list together for you. The university belongs to a number of professional organizations which provide valuable resources to its members. In most cases, UNF faculty are extended membership via the institutional membership. These include EDUCAUSE and the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative, the New Media Consortium, and the Online Learning Consortium. If you visit the online version of the newsletter, you'll find links to descriptions of these organizations and the resources they provide, which include research briefs, white papers, and free webinars. MOOCs, massive open online course providers such as Coursera and edX, offer courses on a variety of topics, everything from the science of happiness to getting and cleaning data. While registration for these courses is completely open and free, there may be a small cost if one wishes to earn an official certification. Some of the courses are self-paced and others are taught cohort style, and they're typically designed and delivered by well-known experts. MOOCs were once thought to be a disruptive force that signaled the end of higher education as we know it, with predictions that anyone with a computer and internet connection could gain all of the benefits of attending a university at almost no cost. That hasn't happened, but MOOCs remain a valuable resource for both skill development and lifelong learning. Some courses you might find include Interaction Design from UC San Diego, Medical Neuroscience from Duke University, Basic Physics for Animators from San Jose University, and Aviation 101 from Embry-Riddle. If you're interested in brushing up on data analysis skills, exploring alternate teaching strategies, or simply learning something new, visit the online version of this newsletter to find more information about MOOC providers and their offerings. Best wishes for the new year and all of your resolutions.
Hello, my name is Dave Wilson. I'm an assistant director in CERT. In this edition of the Faculty Spotlight, we highlight Dr. Ann Pfister, assistant professor in the Department of Sociology, Anthropology, and Social Work, and her use of the photo voice method to explore themes in the Introduction to Anthropology course. Dr. Ann Pfister uses visual methods, including photo voice, in her research. Photo voice is a qualitative research strategy that invites participants to explore concepts through digital photography. Pfister uses photo voice in her research investigating identity and language socialization among deaf youth in Mexico City, Mexico. She also saw potential for using this strategy as a way to invite her students to explore and analyze themes and concepts in her fall 2015 Introduction to Anthropology course. The core idea of the photo voice method is to ask a group of people, in this case her students, to take photographs to express their point of view on certain concepts, themes, or events. Prior to the start of the semester, Pfister contacted CERT to consult on tools and strategies for incorporating the photo voice method into her course. Introduction to Anthropology is a large course with more than 100 students. Therefore, it was critical to create a process that was easy for students to learn and that minimized the logistical demands of the instructor collecting and grading the assignments. After exploring several options, they settled on a combination of Flickr, a free online social photography sharing service, and the Blackboard assignment tool. Students used Flickr to upload their pictures. Once uploaded, students would then tag the picture with the social theme it represented to them, for example, gender or race and ethnicity. Students wrote a short description or analysis for each photograph. Students then created an album of pictures for each assignment and submitted a link to that album using the Blackboard assignment tool. The students' photos and albums were private and could not be seen until the student shared the link to the material. After students submitted the links via a Blackboard assignment, Dr. Pfister used the standard Blackboard Grade Center tools to grade and give feedback for each assignment. At the end of the semester, students were asked to choose the images that they thought best represented the themes explored throughout the semester and to submit that subset of images to a Flickr group. This allowed each student to contribute to a shared album. As a culminating activity, Dr. Pfister used the slideshow tool to present an in-class exhibit, organized to highlight the major themes of the project. Finally, students reflected on the themes of that exhibit through a short writing assignment. Pfister found several benefits to using PhotoVoice in an undergraduate classroom. This strategy encourages critical thinking, incorporates multiple learning styles, visual, kinesthetic, and artistic, and adds authenticity and interactivity to lecture-based content. PhotoVoice provided a unique opportunity for assessment and participation, and many students said that they enjoyed the project because it was fun and interesting. Dr. Pfister continues to adapt this method as a pedagogical tool and works towards encouraging students to hone their analytical skills. If you have any questions or are interested in using PhotoVoice or similar methods in your course, please contact us at CERT.
Hi, I'm Andy Rush, coordinator of online media development at CERT, and this digital thinking article is about course trailers. In April of 2015, the Chronicle of Higher Education featured an article on the increasing use of course trailers. It's the idea of doing a course introduction video as if it were a movie preview, such as those you see before the feature film in a movie theater. While to some they might seem gimmicky, course trailers could instead be seen as opportunities to reach out to students in a form that is familiar to them and go a bit beyond the standard course introduction video. The more a faculty member gets involved in the creation of these trailers, the more they will learn the valuable skills that will serve their students, their academic departments, and their own professional development. Faculty who create these works in a medium that encourages student exploration will in turn encourage the students who take these classes to create additional trailers. There are lots of different approaches that can be taken for these types of videos, and we encourage you to go with the style that you, the faculty member, are comfortable with. CERT can provide lots of information, both technical and practical, about how to create good video and even introduce you to equipment and facilities that would be considered very advanced, but can still be easily utilized in your productions. Here are the basic components to include in a course trailer. 1. An opening title screen, including the course number and name, including cross-listings. 2. Talk about why this course excites you. 3. Answer the question, what is the significance of this course? What does the student get from it? 4. What is the context of the course? How does it fit in with majors or non-majors? 5. Is this a long-time successful course or a brand new one? Why is it being taught? 6. Details of what students will study. Say what the course catalog doesn't. 7. See the Duke outline in the newsletter on workload and course grading. 8. Close with course details and contact information. Also, read the FAQ from the Duke outline, which has some very good points to keep in mind. See the newsletter for links to the resources that provide further examples of what your course introduction or trailer video can look like. If you're interested in creating a trailer for your course, please contact CERT.
Hi, this is Jamie Jairs. I'm an instructional designer here at UNF in the CERT department. This article is about how to use Facebook groups to increase interaction in your online courses. The importance of student interactions and sense of involvement in online courses has been well documented. This article proposes building that learning community with the use of Facebook groups. As with any course discussion forum, proper instructions and guidelines should be clearly communicated with students, including how the discussions will be assessed and what the roles of the instructor and student will be in these discussions. At first, some faculty and students might be hesitant at the idea of using Facebook for online class discussions because of the access to personal information. At a mid-sized Southern university, higher education faculty and students were surveyed on their use of Facebook in education. Only a small percentage of faculty and students believed that their privacy would be invaded by the use of Facebook for educational purposes. 22% of faculty and 15% of students. To address this issue, Facebook gives the option of creating private groups, where no one in the group will be able to access individual group members' information or even see anything they post outside the group page, as long as you have your Facebook profile set to private. The only information that can be seen is the profile picture and name. Facebook has even created an additional mobile app just for viewing and managing your groups without having to go into all the other Facebook features. Research shows that anywhere from 85 to 99% of college students use Facebook, making it the most popular social media website for this demographic. Data collected by Center for Applied Research, sampling 36,000 students from 126 U.S. universities, showed that 97% of students who use Facebook reported actively engaging on the site daily. Instructors of asynchronous online courses could tap into this pre-established daily interaction and apply continuous and consistent exposure to their content by implementing discussion boards in a Facebook group. Posts and comments by instructors and student peers are seen every time a student opens their Facebook, with the option of also receiving a notification on their phone immediately after a comment is posted. This results in the students being involved in the discussions and reviewing content more often throughout the day or week. Students who would normally only log into their Blackboard course a few times a week and have to make the choice to intentionally check discussion boards can now be connected to the course every time they pick up their phone. Instructors could also encourage students to use the like feature to acknowledge they've read an announcement or agree with a comment. Results from studies suggest the use of social media can increase student satisfaction and perception towards ease of learning, motivation, and levels of achievement. After using Facebook, students were significantly more receptive to using it for an educational tool, measured from their pre-test and post-test scores, and reported that it was most beneficial in improving readiness in course assessments and engaging their learning. Facebook is more convenient for students to access throughout the day, usually on their phones, and provides a good means of communication. One best practice associated with online learning is the creation of an engaging and interactive learning community where students feel their peers and instructors are present and accessible. The high number of individuals already using Facebook as a means of connecting with family and friends, educators can capitalize on this established and enduring relationship. Some instructors may choose to give students the option of staying in the group even after the course has ended. This could extend the professional networking and communication capabilities for the scope of the academic program or longer, promoting the goal of creating lifelong learners who are part of an academic learning community and have a source for future support. If you're interested in discussing how to use private Facebook groups to increase learner interaction in online courses, schedule a consultation with me or another instructional designer.
Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please visit us on the web at www.unf.edu/CIRT. Have a great day.